Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a family struggles to explain the strange red dots that appear out of nowhere throughout their house. Trouble in the bathroom as a young child confronts a former school staffer after their death. And one listener has a paranormal experience while listening to a paranormal account on this very show. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. We'd love to hear them. Love hearing your ghost stories year-round here on the program. Of course, if you really like the show and you want to get access to all those EPP bonus episodes, and man, there's a good one coming up this week. Our Christmas one, I'll talk about it in a little bit. You got to check it out, ghostpodcast.com. There'll be a 10-minute preview of it for you on Thursday here on the normal feed. The full episode is about 40 minutes long, and it is packed with some awesome ghostly Christmas stories. And the way we produced it, I found like the creepiest. I didn't even know this stuff even existed, Carol. It's like messed up versions of Christmas songs. And it's not like it's hard rock or anything. It's just like kind of out of tune, kind of bizarre, kind of creepy, really fun bumper stuff. I walked away from producing that thing going, I'm proud of this. This feels to me like one of the coolest things I've ever produced.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to hear it.
It was just like everything just flowed together. The stories are so good. And it was just, it was one of those things like, you know, every, like every 10 years you have a piece. You're like, damn, that was great. And I mean, I'm proud of a lot of stuff, but this was just like one of those where it's like, if I had to say one of the top 10 things I've ever produced as a long form piece, this would be in there. It's just such a neat piece. Yeah. So anyway, that's it's coming out this Thursday, EPP. So it's the full episode for our EPPs and a 10-minute preview on Thursday for everybody else. So you can all get a taste of what the new EPP episodes are like. And if you like it, please do subscribe. It's only $5 a month to get all those. And you get access to all 226, 27, whatever we're at, EPP episodes over at ghostpodcast.com. So it's neat. We'll talk about some of the stories in a little bit. I think I'm almost out of the bronchitis stage. At least I think so.
That was only like a year.
Only, yes. Well, after about 2 months, I finally said, okay, I'm going to physically go to my doctor. I was doing like the teledoc thing online where they like, it's probably bronchitis. Here's an inhaler and some coughing medicine. And it just kept going and going. So I finally went in and they gave me prednisone to try and knock this thing out of my lungs.
And I think now you can't sleep.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, I'm not taking it before bed. I know you're not supposed to do that. So I take it right when I get up, and then I take it around 5 o'clock at night. And I swear to God, I've been on it the last 3 days. It's a 5-day dose. And it's one of those things where it kind of makes you, they say it'll make you a little more hyper or kind of jittery. The thing is, I'm already kind of like that to begin with. And I guess what it has done to me, it's I'm always like doing 50 things at once as well. I'm never just sitting down doing nothing. I'm always having the mindset without the prednisone of must be productive. So it made me super productive over the weekend. Yesterday, I did a whole bunch of things around the house, just like little chores of like, there's a hole over here I need to fix. I need to hang this over here. Oh, while I'm at it, I think I'm going to make 3 batches of beef jerky, around like 7 batches of peanut brittle and some other thing I made was Jen's just like, oh, we should make, what is it? It's a southern pralines. She's like, I'd love it if we could learn how to make pralines. So I'm like, I walk to the other room, looking at my phone. I'm like, okay, let's go make some pralines. So I made a round of pralines and yeah. So I had a super productive weekend,
so
thanks
then you
to prednisone.
Your doctor, no, I'm like, can I be on steroids for a little bit longer?
All
I'm
the
getting
time.
So much done.
Can we do cocaine next? It's like, Jesus. So, I don't know. Half of it's just, I think, me happy that I'm not coughing all the time. I'm just like, ooh, I can do stuff. And the other thing is, I'm sure, just the jitteriness of the prednisone. But there you go. That's
not to be like gender roles, but you're such a dude. Because like me, if it's been 2 months and I'm still coughing, I obviously have lung cancer and I'm going to die. So I would have been at my doctor way before then.
The thing is, because I worry too about everything. And believe me, the day before I went to the doctor, I was watching like Peter Jennings videos.
And I'm watching
his final farewell on ABC News. It's like, you may have learned in the last couple of days, I have lung cancer.
And now, then you're like, I'm going to have to do that episode.
I'm going to have to do a Peter Jennings goodbye.
I don't know how.
Yeah. And so, it did run through my mind, but I'm like, I don't smoke. Something that did run through my mind was the, what's the gas that is in basements around here?
Carbon monoxide sort of thing.
It's not carbon.
Kill you?
Well, it's something where if it builds up long enough, it can be bad for you. I forgot what it's. Radon. Radon, and that's a common thing here in the Ozarks with all the rock, where it can build up in basements if the house isn't ventilated well. The thing is, when we got our house, we did a test for it, and it was a little bit higher. But the thing is, nobody had been in this house for like 5 years. So I get where, you know, you don't open doors for 5 years, anything builds up. But we're always in and out, so I wasn't super concerned. But of course, that ran through my mind too, of, oh my God, you know, I don't smoke, but maybe I got lung cancer in 2 years from radon.
Because that's obviously what it is.
So obviously, it has to be what's going on. So, when you're an anxious person, that's just kind of where your mind goes.
And then they're like, steroids will help. Will they?
Yeah.
I have lung cancer.
Exactly. Like, no, you don't. I got a lung x-ray and everything, too. So I know I don't, and I'm good. So
I'm happy to know that.
There you go. I said, well, thank you, Peter. So we're all good. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump over to our first story of the day. And it says, hey, Tony and Carol, I'm not much of a radio listener. I'm a new listener to this show, though, and I absolutely love it. I'm Claire, and I live in Liverpool, England. My story is from when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I was in school, which was rumored to be haunted, but I never knew about it at the time. In about spring of 1989, my classmate and I went to the big girls' toilets during a break. My classmate waited for me in the changing room while I went to the toilet. I heard them run out, so I opened the door, and I kid you not, I saw a woman in blue. She was walking and appeared to be reading a large brown book, her dress touching the floor, and she wore a hood up with red lipstick. I must have watched her walking for several minutes before pulling up my knickers to my knees and ran out into the gym room to the playground. I was that scared. I didn't care if anyone saw me running with my knickers down to my knees. My classmate said to me, "Did you see that?" And she explained what she saw, which was the same thing I had seen. The next week, we had a brief history lesson on the school, and we were told that the school was built in 1932, and the first headmaster was a woman named Elizabeth. I've always wondered if it was her. Over the years, I've had many things happening to me. When I lost two of my cats, I've heard scratches and meows and felt them jumping on my bed. When I was in the hospital in a room with a few patients, everyone was in bed, and I saw a 4-foot figure by the doorknob. It had a green face with orange eyes, and I shouted. I must have just seen something. I wasn't sure, but no one cared and told me to go to sleep. I could move my feet, and I tucked them into my nightdress to protect them by grabbing them. Anyway, thanks for reading my story. I bloody love your show. So, ghosts in schools, the main premise of that one. And
that should not be allowed to happen.
A ghost in a school?
No, I say no ghosts in schools.
I think it's a fairly common thing. That's the thing. Have you ever had any experiences in a school with anything odd or paranormal?
No, I'm trying to think. I did get stuck in an elevator once in college, but
that's like my nightmare. I've never had that happen, but I've always been afraid of that happening.
It happened, yeah. And it was like late at night on a weekend, so there was nobody there. But I got out. But no, I've never had a ghostly school encounter.
I have not either. I went to my high school looked like a prison. It was built around 1900. It literally had like the top of a castle, like the turrets, where you'd put the weapons through to shoot the oncoming enemies. It had that on the roof. And it's so old. My grandparents had gone there in the 20s. My parents went there. And then I was the very last class at that school before it was closed. Perfect place for a haunting. I'm unaware of any ghost stories of the school. I'm surprised because you'd think it would have many of them. But it was just built of limestone, had every piece of a recipe for a good ghost story, but as far as I know, did not have one. Coming up in a couple weeks on an EPP episode, we are going to be talking about haunted schools. So I wanted to put that call out there to everybody. And this is something I'm going to be doing in the future on a fairly regular basis as I'm planning the new way that we're doing the EPP episodes. They tend to have themes, and I am curating them a little bit more in order than just happen to randomly have them come up. I know that happens quite a bit, but this I'm actually planning out a bit in advance. So I'm throwing the call out there to anyone who has a haunted school story, whether it's a school you went to, a school your parents went to, just a story you know about a haunted school. I would love to hear it. And if you have one and you'd like to share it, this is the perfect time to do so. So please email your haunted school story to me. You can send it straight to a special email address. Submit story at realghoststoriesonline.com. I think that's the email address. Let me make sure I'm giving the right email address out before I say that again. It just something rings to me of like that's not the new email address I made.
Is it submit a story?
It's not a, no.
Is that your story?
I'm looking at, I'm pulling up Facebook because I have it up there. Dun, 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 dun. That's just great. I throw it out there. Share story at realghoststoriesonline.com. Send it to share story at realghoststoriesonline.com. Put in the subject line, haunted school, that I'll know what you're sending me to.
You know, I think that school, especially like grade school, middle school, high school, college is different.
Sure.
It's hard enough to get through it, let alone if you have to deal with a ghost on top of it. Like, that's just horrible.
Yeah, I mean, nothing, I mean, especially...
A bully ghost, like, I got enough of them around.
I wonder how often there's stuff at elementary schools. You know how we always hear stories of kids that, like, they don't even, like, really realize when there's a ghost going on? How frequently that happens there, and they just don't realize it. Because they're little kids until later in life, they're like, wait a second, there wasn't 32 kids in the class, there's only 31. Who is that other one? And everyone kind of having the same story. But over the years, we've heard some very interesting haunted school stories. So share story at realghoststoriesonline.com to send in your haunted school story. I'd love to hear it. I had a chance a couple years back, and I think we've talked about this, where I got a chance to go through. There was an elementary not far from the radio station there in Wichita that was being torn down over in the...
Oh, I remember your pictures.
The Park City area. And it was the same elementary that the BTK killer went to when he was a child. So that in itself has a nice creepy-ass connotation to it in itself. And I literally went to it and I got permission. And they said, yeah, we're in the middle of tearing it down, but I'll tell them that you're coming and just tell them I gave you permission. And, you know, they should let you in unless it's dangerous. So I got there and they're like, well, stay on this half of the building because we're tearing down this other half. So they gave me a hard hat and I went in there with the camera and wandered around, got a whole bunch of awesome video and camera shots. And literally, I was at one end of the hall, this picture, this long school hallway. And I can see the other end of the hall, just a bulldozer knocking down a classroom. And it was the weirdest experience. And all these chalkboards are still up on the walls. In some cases, there was even some desks and stuff in some of the rooms. The speakers are kind of in disarray. Some are on the floor. Some are on the wall. There was a lot of things in there that were just still there. Some of those doors I wish I would have taken because they were antique school doors. Just neat architecture on them.
You should, when you do that episode, you should share some of those pictures again because they were really cool. I remember that.
I think I will. I'm going to grab some of that for the graphics on that because it was a neat experience, and I have I got a half hour of video of it. But I'll grab some of that and use that on the YouTube of that episode. But nothing ghostly, but you know, as far as abandoned and spooky feeling, 100% there. It was an experience. The old balance beam. Remember doing the balance beam as a kid in gym class?
Not very well.
And it was carpeted around the outside of the board in like this horrible like lime green. There was that, and it was in their gym, just set up as if like the next class was going to come in and do the balance beam. Or a bulldozer is going to come in and knock the building over. And unfortunately, the bulldozer is the one that won out. But it was just so eerie seeing some of that stuff. Just like it's just waiting for the bell to ring and all the kids are going to come in and play. And it was in its final minutes of existing. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next letter. Hey, guys, it's Bianca again. So I'm freaking out right now. I'm at work. I listen to you guys while I am at work, listen to old podcast shows, catch up on everything. To preface the setting, my desk is in an L shape, enclosed in a cubicle, and I always sit leaning to the left against the bottom part of the L. Hope that makes sense. And quite often, I will shake my leg. So I was listening to an episode called Weekend at Lizzie's about the Lizzie Borden house. And it was playing a part where she was going on about an EVP not recording after they actually enter the house. When suddenly it feels like something is pulling at my sleeve. The way I'm sitting, someone would have to be under my desk to be doing this. At first, I thought it was my leg pulling on my sweater. Maybe something got caught in my pants or something. So I stopped shaking my leg, and I looked down, and I can see and feel someone pulling on the sleeve of my sweater. There were fast, hard tugs, too, maybe about five or six of them. I can't stop shaking now. When I looked down, I could have sworn I saw a little boy, like a spirit, in my head. That's how I see them, like a mind's eye type of thing. He was sitting there looking up at me with somber eyes, sitting on his knees, arms up towards me. Kind of like the little kid under the table from Juno, the original Japanese version of the American movie The Grudge. I don't know if I just made up this little boy to cope with the WTF situation that was just happening in real life or what, but I freaked the fuck out. I don't know what was grabbing at me from under my desk. So there you go. Proof positive that when you listen to the show, paranormal things can happen to you.
Great. Now it's going to be like, that's not a cat jumping on me. I mean, scratched by a demon.
A demon cat. No, but I've heard, I can't tell you specifically, but I think we've had maybe two or three over the years where they were listening to an episode about something and then they had their own experience at the same time. Not common, but it's happened. And did you think when things like that happen, is that just coincidence? You know, folks that are already interested in the paranormal who already may have stuff around them, it just happened to be happening when they're listening to the show? Or can being involved in this stuff, listening to this stuff, bring that about?
Well, I think, not like I'm an expert.
Yeah.
Just my opinion. But I think that when you're wrapped up in listening to something, number one, you're kind of in a different place. So I do think you can be more open to that because your defenses aren't so up.
Okay.
And then depending on where you're listening, like if you're in a place that, you know, is totally awesome with no ghosts ever, that would be one thing. But if you, I mean, people are listening right now and they're like in their haunted house. Mm-hmm. I think it could absolutely happen. Because what? I think you're wrapped up in a story. And so that's kind of, in my case, when things have happened to me is when I'm a million miles away or I'm thinking about something else. And then that's when I hear somebody say buddy behind me.
Sure.
You know?
And you're not.
So it's not like when I'm expecting it to happen. It always happens at, when I'm least expecting it.
In your not haunted house.
In my not haunted house. Where people ask me about my dog.
That aren't really there.
That aren't there. But it's not haunted.
It's not haunted. What would be, would that be the totally awesome not haunted place you were referring to?
It doesn't happen all the time.
Or like, or what do you classify? Once in a while. What classifies as a totally awesome, not haunted place?
I was, when I first started doing this with you, I'm like, great. I'm going to like have these stories. I'll never sleep at night listening to them. And I haven't had any problems yet.
Yet. Yeah.
Yet. It could still happen today. Who knows? But I do think that when you're like, just wrapped up in a story or something.
Sure.
Like, she's just listening, and all of a sudden, when you're listening to a story, you know when something's tugging on you.
Yeah.
And maybe you're running over your sweater with your chair or something, if you have a cute one of those long sweaters. But, you know when something's tugging on you.
Well, especially if you look down. I mean, it's the equivalency of, like, looking at the light switch and seeing it turn by itself. It's like, what the hell was that? Like, that just doesn't happen. If you see your clothes being tugged on and there's nothing there, yeah, I mean, there's clearly something going on. It's hard to say, was it a little boy? Was it something that was just created in her mind? Maybe that'd just be what her assumption would be. But obviously, if something's tugging at you and you're seeing that part, That's the part that's completely factual of there's something there. What is it? I don't know. But yeah.
I just hope it wasn't Lizzie Borden.
Probably not. Probably not.
That would be bad.
It'd be like, all of a sudden, like, then half of my sweater got cut off by an axe. 855-853-4802, our number. Hi, Tony and Carol. My name's Angela, 28, from Philippines. I've always been interested in ghost stories and all that paranormal stuff, and saw your podcast on Spotify. I've been listening to you ever since. Not an EPP yet, but planning on being one. I just want to share the experiences I've had before, and I'll try to make this as short as possible, but with my experiences, I doubt it. Heads up, my family on both sides have had a history of being sensitive to paranormal things. I can see them, feel them, and sometimes hear them. And my grandfather also said that for some weird reason, I attract them. So when I was about 10 years old, we just moved into a house which my aunt owns. We were like the caretaker of that house. And my bed was this folding bed, like the one you use in a beach, just because our stuff was not yet arranged. It was morning, and I was a lazy kid. I was still in bed. My mind was awake. I know I'm awake. I can hear my parents outside the house talking. I was just lying there, eyes closed, and I was lying on my side. Suddenly, I hear a marble bounce and roll under my bed. I ran out to my parents. Why do you ask? I'm an only child, and there was no other kids living in that house except for me. After a few months, I was about to go to school with my friend. She was just outside the house waiting for me. You see, we were living in a subdivision where houses are next to each other. No backyard or that kind of stuff. Walls were just the separation. Anyway, she was outside waiting for me to come out, and when I came out, she said, "I saw a weird woman and a kid that went into that house." And she pointed to a house at the end of our row, which is just one house away. I said, "Are you sure?" She said, "Yes." I got scared because that house was abandoned. No one was living there. Later, I found out that that house before was a small kindergarten school and was just abandoned, which no one knew why. After that, we got our own place, still on that same subdivision. It was a bungalow house with one big room, which you can divide into two spacious rooms. I was in high school and my mom went out. My dad was at work. I was preparing to go to school, but then I looked at out my window. My window was next to the main door of the house, and you can clearly see everyone who comes to our house. Anyways, I looked at my window and saw a lady in a wedding dress looking back at me with a very creepy smile. I just froze and curled to my bed, crying. Also, if you know or heard about the Philippines, we have so much paranormal stuff. Having said that, when I was at my friend's house during college, me and my friend May, which is also sensitive, or who is also sensitive, we went upstairs to wake up our friend Jill. We laid in her bed, and right after that, I can feel the end of her bed moving, like someone was jumping on the bed. I asked them if they could feel something. Jill said no. May said yes. She said that the end of the bed was moving. Right there, I knew I was not the only one feeling that. After that, my body froze like I was in a sleep paralysis. I can't move my body. After that, I finally got up. Can't breathe. I can feel a hand on my throat. My friends tried to help me get out of the room. And then I passed out. When I woke up, my friend said that I had a dead weight and that they had to call out Jill's older brother, who's a big guy, and all three of them cannot get me down. The only way we got down was when they were trying to get me down the stairs. They said that something pushed them, causing all of us to fall. I never went back to that house again, but we're still friends. Sorry if this is long. Just a few of my experiences. Hope to write down more about my experiences in the future. I've truly enjoyed your show, and thank you for listening to my story. All the best to you and your show, Angela, in the Philippines. Thoughts?
I don't know. I wonder, like, in that house, did they have, like the other people had some, I wonder if something like that had happened to someone else?
I'd be very curious. I mean, there is a lot of ghost stories out of the Philippines, mainly because I think it's such an accepted topic in the culture and people are more willing to share and try and understand it. I'm really curious about that school, the kindergarten that was mentioned there. It's interesting. I'm looking for school stories, and here there's like a whole bunch in this story or in this episode. But yeah, I mean, places like that, I don't know. I mean, I suppose the more a culture or a society is open and accepting of it, probably the more common it is to see these things as well. I think the weirdest things anyone could see would be the strange, creepy woman in her wedding dress looking at you through
the window. Oh, my God, no kidding. That would be super recognizable. It's not like, what is she wearing? You're like, why is there a woman in a wedding dress?
I know. And the thing is, that's such a common thing, too, for older generations to be buried in is their wedding dress. So if you can come back and choose what you want to wear, certain generations are going to say wedding dress. Yeah. My grandmother, who passed away, I don't know, 7-8 years ago now. I was there when that happened. She was buried in her wedding dress. And I gotta say, kind of a creepy choice, Grandma.
And then I'm like, that's so impressive that it still fits. That's where my brain's going.
That's where you go.
I'm like, wow, how cool she could still wear that.
Like, that's creepy, Grandma. But because I an open casket, you know, and everything. And there's Grandma in the wedding dress. I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
I guess that makes sense because for a lot of women, that's their most important dress they ever owned, or the dress they hated the most, one or the other.
And you're hoping you're wearing it in your casket because it's for a good reason, not like, just like I'm going down in spite.
No, it'd be like, hell, I spent $5,000 on this dress. Y'all gonna be looking at it again.
Worst choice of my life. Hated my husband. I'm gonna wear this dress one more time, bitches.
Just to spite him.
But it was good for her. And the thing is, with her, it was her second marriage who was my step grandpa, but he was always my true grandpa to me. So it was a good marriage there. So it was a good, happy. Happy thing for her. But
I could also see why you would see ghosts in wedding dresses.
Sure.
Because, I mean, that makes a ton of sense. Because you hear about, you know, stories that happened on the wedding day or, you know, horrible stories.
Yeah, where it's like, we're on our way to the honeymoon and they drove off the cliff and died. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's still in the wedding dress. Yeah, that's, so there you go. It's one of those things where you think of zombies or something coming out of the ground and they're wearing whatever they were wearing. It's going to be a lot of people in wedding dresses when that shit happens. It's going to be, where's the zombie wedding? Everybody seems to be like all ready to go here. What's the deal?
But, I'll probably just be in a hoodie. Like, it's comfortable. If I got to be an eternity in one outfit, just make it sweats and a hoodie. I'm good.
You'd be walking, slippers. Have your leash with you, and there'll be this, like, a skeleton dog walking along with you. Or a whole bunch of skeleton dogs walking along with you. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Another letter. Hey, guys, thanks for reading my submission. Recently discovered the show, and I'm really enjoying all the stories. I'm a firm believer in the paranormal, and I often think friends and family think it's so strange how fascinated I am with ghosts or spirits. I think my fascination started where this story took place in a home I grew up in. I was about 14, living in Phoenix, Arizona, where we lived in a secluded area surrounded by horse property. We were in a private area. Homes surrounded us, were a great distance away. It was a week my little brother and stepdad went to Ohio to visit family, and of course my mother and I were excited to have the whole house to ourselves, until we experienced something very strange our first night. I'd always had weird feelings in my room that I could not explain, so of course I slept with my mother that week. Woke up in the middle of the night, can't recall the time it was, but I looked up to a strange red dot circling our ceiling slowly. I looked over to our window to see if someone was shining one of those red laser lights to our window, but the blinds were completely closed along with the curtains. I nudged my mom in a panic to look up, and she's quiet while witnessing the whole thing. I told her I was so scared, and she acknowledged she was also, but urged me to close my eyes and to go to sleep. It would go away soon. We never mentioned it until years later, but we laugh about it now since we both knew deep down we'd encountered what we believe to be the paranormal. Hope you enjoyed my story. Maybe you can get some insight into what you may think it may be. Okay, question for you. Have you ever experienced that, the laser-looking red dot thing? Because I've somewhere to go with this that
no.
That's relatable for both of us.
No, never? I have not.
Okay. Not in your current radio station of employment either?
Well, no.
I know there's weird stuff that happens there, so. But not that specifically.
Okay. I mean, if I saw it, I was like, that's nothing.
Okay. Someone who works there, I won't say who.
You will tell me once this episode.
Yeah. He told me once, that he was down in the basement and in a production room, the newer remodeled of them, which was about 15 years ago now, when it was remodeled.
They've recently been redone.
Oh, really? Okay. So this would have been the one that right down at the bottom of the stairs with the newer board and everything in it, that he was in there one day. And all of a sudden, he had all the lights off on the weekend. It's pretty dark down there when you do that. And he said he saw suddenly these red laser lights is kind of like flashing all around in that room. And he was trying to figure out what was going on. He was new to the station, thought, well, maybe there's, you know, like a security camera or something that's, you know, doing this. And he looks around and can't figure it out. As far as I know to this day, he's never figured out what it was. And he was asking me if I had ever had that or knew, you know, what would be causing that. And it was just a very matter of fact conversation. It was just like, I have no idea. And we went down there, looked around, and I was thinking maybe there's something new down here. And no, I could never figure it out. But that was the only other time I've heard that same story of the weird laser light type thing was from him. So when I saw this letter, I thought, ooh, this is interesting. Similar type thing that cannot really be explained.
Well, and the basement there at work kind of freaks me out when no one's there. Like when I think a lot of places when there's a lot, like schools are a good example why maybe, you know, there weren't people reporting weird things because there's so much activity in the school that it doesn't stand out.
Yeah.
But when no one's in the school and you're there at a weird hour or something, and the station's like that, and the basement is just creepy because it's totally pitch dark down there. There's no windows at all. And I do not like going in the basement on the weekends when no one's in the building.
And you know, I've said it before, and it's weird because there are ghost stories out of that place. I have always just felt warm and happy in that building. I've never felt eerie there. I don't know why. And it's not to say that I don't like feel like maybe there's something else there, but whatever is there wants to be there, and in a good way. Like it's protective, in my opinion.
Well, obviously, you were doing a good radio show, and the ghost is like, "Yay, you! I like you."
I mean, it would constantly.
And then when you're not, it's like you really suck.
It would turn the volume up and blast the speakers
that
all the time.
Still happens.
Yeah,
that still happens.
That was always interesting. The funniest thing with that would be sometimes there's rooms where there's nobody in, but there's, you know, they're studios, but they're it's voice tracked, which means there's nobody truly on the air. It's just all computers running everything. And every once in a while, all of a sudden just music is blaring out of one of the rooms. It's like, what the hell? And you go in, it's just cranked all the way up and no one's been in there to turn it up. But it happens when you're sitting in the room too.
You can watch it turn itself up.
Yeah. That's one of the weirdest parts of that.
But the red lights I've never seen, but wouldn't it be weird if I go to work this week and see one?
Maybe. I mean, yeah, it just might be kind of one of those things, because there's always lights and, you know, the boards and everything that's in your peripheral. But so I could see it not necessarily standing out unless you're really kind of catching it. But
that deal with both of them seeing that red light, like, you, that would be weird. Like, you know, I've done that before. Like, when you wake up and it's like, oh my God, the lights. Oh, the cops pulled over someone right outside my bedroom window.
Yeah.
And that's, because it's not normally like that.
And your mind goes to that normally. But I mean, those laser lights, that's pretty distinct. It's when you see it, you know what it is and you wonder what it is. We had a mystery light the other night here. We were sitting out on the porch right before those huge storms came through, and just kind of enjoying a warmer evening for being winter. There was a strange light, and with all the leaves on the trees being gone now, you can see a lot further than you used to. And there was just this odd light, and it looked like it was coming from this patch of woods off to the back right of our house. And there's nothing down there that has lights.
There's nothing outside your house.
And there's,
like, it's major woods.
And there's this storm coming in. So I'm thinking, well, there's nobody down, you know, back by where the golf course area is, which is a bit of a hike. And like, nobody's down there walking. And because it's like 10 o'clock at night, and nobody in their right mind would be down there to begin with, just because there's a lot of wild animals and shit too that are out there at night. And so I'm just like, what is this? And it seemed to, like, it moved in weird ways. It almost like went up, it went down, it kind of went behind trees, and it was just far enough away where you couldn't get a great view of what the hell was going on. But I kind of ruled out street light. And Jen eventually wrote it off to, well, there's a wastewater treatment plant on the ledge across the way. And I know she's just kind of coming up with this, so she's not freaking out. And I'm like, but honey, that's like over there. And it's a totally, it's a good 45 degrees away from where she's seeing this. I'm like, no, honey, that's over in that. No, it's over there. Like, no. Okay. Yes, you're right. It is over there.
Should I go to aliens and UFOs? I'm like, obviously, it's a UFO. I don't like much more than ghosts.
I kind of.
But that would be weird because it is so pitch dark.
Yeah.
Where you live.
It was an odd moment of seeing that. I don't know what it was. I'm not prepared to say this was a ghost, but it was an unexplained light that I could not identify. It's not lightning bug season, so it didn't have that. It looked more just like the white light of almost like a street light, but there are no street lights down there. And to me, it looked like it was in the middle of the woods. So I don't know. It was strange, and you would hear rustling and stuff, and there was none of that. It was weird. But I've heard of that in woods. It's I almost thinking, you know, kind of orb-ish, like, is what I would say it was reminiscent of if I had to describe it in some way, shape, or form. So
yeah, tell Jen it was nothing.
It was the wastewater treatment plant.
That's,
and it was
exactly, you know, I got to think about that. You were so right.
It was their light across the way. That's it. End of story. Let's have sweet dreams. Yeah.
Next time you see it, look, the waste management light is on again.
What's going on? That's so strange. And oh, it's a skull tonight. That's interesting. But, yeah, there you go. EPP episode, the new one, the Christmas episode, is coming out this week. There's a lot of great stories in there. But one of them that is one of my favorites, you're going to hear it in the tease on Thursday. It's about a woman who, on a Christmas night, trying to burn off some of the Christmas food, doing a little exercising, walking around, is approached by someone in a parking lot. And continually approached by someone in the parking lot, tries to go get some help at the gas station, and this person just keeps approaching them. But there's something odd about the vehicle that continues to approach this person. And the gas station's not taking it very seriously. She gets her friend to come out, it turns out, and this is, you got to hear this full story because it really paints a creepy Christmas night picture. I think a lot of us can just think in our mind's eye, kind of cold, kind of wet, Christmas lights up in the distance, but you're kind of by yourself with this weird vehicle. This vehicle, this person, and the way the vehicle looks, reminiscent, which he learns later, of a vehicle involved in an accident where everyone died. Someone trying to offer a ride and be a good Samaritan, maybe? I don't know. But the description, the person, all that ends up matching what she finds out later of death. So I know I kind of gave the tease and I kind of gave the... the spoiler on that, but you got to hear the full thing. It's our first story in this episode. There's about four or five stories in the episode, including one we actually shared about 1,000 episodes back. I'm not even kidding. And we retell it in a whole new way. It's one of my favorite stories I think we've ever shared. And if you're a relatively new listener to the show, you have probably never heard this story involving... basically, it's an older Christmas story. Someone, a mother trying to save the life of her child, and the property and where this took place becoming a camp, a summer camp. And then what happens at that summer camp in more current times in the 80s and 90s. Another creepy one. There's several other stories.
Those sound like great stories, though.
It's good stuff. I'm really excited for it. So EPP, our Christmas one. Out Thursday. Sign up ghostpodcast.com to hear it. If you want to go through Patreon, you can do that as well. The links are all there over at ghostpodcast.com. It is a good episode. I can guarantee you will not be disappointed with it. That will wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you all enjoyed it. If you got those haunted school stories, send them in to me. Share story at realghoststoriesonline.com. We want to use some of those in an upcoming episode. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.